Maz, you loser.
Tutcher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the full race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief. For the Patriots, end of the first half and at the end of the second half. They left points on the field several times today, including that missed opportunity in the final half minute of the second quarter.
This is inexplicable. I mean,
in between the silence, you heard Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak. Bob Soucy, of course, the voice of your New England Patriots, is brought to you by the New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Strategy. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight. This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. Bob Soucy, I thought the call was very good. I said I think that you had the right amount of excitement. First of all, it seems like you broadcast from like the world's worst angle when you're at those games in Miami.
Yeah. I'm speechless, Fred. I'm without speech, as I was yesterday. It's not the best. I'll say that. It's not the best. It's a small booth. It's enclosed. Can't open the windows. And the angle, you're right, is not the best. And to make matters worse, the broadcast booth is in the, I think it's the northwest corner of the stadium. The press box where the press elevator is located is in the southwest corner. And in between is a club with lots of neon lights and strobes and, you know, pulsating music and pulsating people grinding like sardines. And I had to walk out of the booth and through that club, at least try to walk through that club, to get to the press elevator after the game. So we went from sounds to the deafening din of that nightclub with Dolphin fans grinding all around me, and I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. Okay, it was just one of those days.
So I'm just imagining what's happening during that 35-second silence, which, by the way, I mean, you know, Fred's right. The call was great, and I know why there was that silence, but can you kind of take us into the booth during that call?
Well, first, I had no idea it was that long. I mean, honestly, as it was taking place, and on one hand, it seems like time stood still, and there was a prolonged stretch of nothingness coming out of our mouth. And yet at the same time, I had no idea that it was that long. You know, initially after calling the play, and I was peeved because I misidentified the player who caught the second, the first lateral. I thought it was Bryce Butler. And of course, seeing 11 eventually knew it was Devontae Parker. And then you're in disbelief because you're watching the play. And when it starts too, calling it, honestly, I wasn't as locked in as I should have been because, okay, ball's thrown to Stills. That's going to be it. This is going to go nowhere. And then you start to see it develop. And then you see the spacing, and you see some guys out of position. And then once you see Drake, and you hear my voice speed up, get to around the 20-yard line, and you see Gronk is the last guy back there, and he doesn't have an angle, and then he's stumbling. It's stunning. And from my point of view, just tried to lay out, allow the reaction, and you're also kind of trying to take a peek at a monitor, see a replay, did this really happen, no flags on the field. But at the same time, I think we were both shocked into silence for longer than we should have been.
Okay, I understand that you as the professional, that's what you were doing, trying to find out, like, who's on each play, and obviously with no monitor, you need to make sure that your call was correct. What was Zolak doing at that point during the silence?
I think he was just sitting back, honestly, incredulous at what he saw. And I think that, you know, it was interesting because we talked about it afterwards. And when he did come back to the commentary, I thought, you know, as long as that stretch was where neither of us said anything, that we handled it the best way we could.
It was great. No one's knocking you.
The Dolphins' credit, but also highlight, you know, all the different breakdowns for the Patriots throughout the game, not just specific to that play, but especially, of course, that play lingering is really one of the worst moments in recent memory, if not in the history of the franchise. But I'll be honest with you, Rich, I don't even remember looking at Zoe after that play until we got out of the booth and got down to the bus.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Capello remembers holding him down and grappling him like he likes to do sometimes during the plays that we've seen. That is
In that booth, however, Capello was in the back of the booth because it's so small, so narrow. In fact, the counter space is so limited that while I stood behind the counter, Zoe had to sit on the steps that lead from the second level of the booth down to the first level of the booth. So it's not only the location, the vantage point, but not a whole lot of room in that broadcast booth as well.
All right. Well, yesterday was just a bunch of question marks, like a lot of unpatriot-like things happening, including the end of the first half with Tom Brady. Just from watching this team, what do you think? Like, where's their mindset going into this next game? Because we still don't know what this team is. Even after all these weeks and only three games left in the season, I still couldn't tell you whether this team has a good defense, whether they have a good offense. It's back and forth every single week.
You know, it's funny. A couple of weeks ago, I said to somebody, I think it was halftime of the Jets game when they were struggling to take control of that game. I said that I think Karen Gregan of the Boston Herald, you know, Karen, I keep saying they're doing things that are uncharacteristic for the Patriots, but maybe they're characteristic of this particular team, this particular season. And then they rebounded with a good performance against the Minnesota Vikings. But we talked about it last week when you said, is this the defense? Is this the identity of the defense? And, you know, we agree that they got to do it on the road. They got to be more consistent. And then they went out yesterday and they allowed a team that they completely shut down in the first game of the season in every way offensively to just gash them, running up the middle, and the roles were reversed. We thought the Pats would go in there and dominate, being able to run the ball in Miami at will. Well, it was the other way around. Long runs by Frank Gore, Brandon Bolden. The Patriots putting themselves in position where they stopped Miami on third down, but they didn't force the Dolphins to have enough third downs during the game. They didn't have a single third down conversion attempt in any of their touchdown drives. So very difficult to get a read on it. There are encouraging signs, I think, offensively from yesterday, most notably the way Brady threw the ball for most of the day and the way Gronk was involved. Certainly, that's a welcomed change from what we've seen really since week one. And the fact that Gordon continues to earn Brady's trust and be a factor offensively. And I thought Edelman, despite a couple of drops, one of which he made up for with a third down conversion, and his role yesterday was one that, Tom Brady goes to him for the first touchdown and some key third down conversions we've been accustomed to seeing. So I think there were encouraging things, but they got two block punts too. That's another thing. But the most discouraging thing is they blocked two punts, both of which they recovered inside the 20 yard line. They scored, almost at will in the first half and they were productive in a lot of ways, over 350 yards, three touchdowns passing by Brady, and yet they lost the game.
Do you think Brady got hurt in that one play where he was down?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about because they did a really poor job of that on television. They just showed They just showed the trainers going out to Brady. Did you see anything that maybe we didn't?
We didn't see it at the time. We were looking for a replay and didn't see it. You know, saw that he was slow in getting up, so I said somebody's down for the Patriots, and then we looked out there at that spot, said it's Brady. But by that point, he was kind of on his feet and he was dragging toward the near side. And kept an eye on him during the break as Mark Price, one of the doctors, and Jim Whalen, the trainer, went over to him, and Brady immediately brushed them off. Now, today, this morning when I woke up, I saw on Twitter that Chris Gobel, the photographer from WBZ, CBS4, got a good shot of Brady going down. And his knee seemed to give way. He adjusted his left brace, knee brace. Or at least he went down on the ground, whether he cramped up, as some have suggested, or maybe the brace, caused some kind of discomfort or pain that forced him to go down on the ground and adjust it. Or there was something else. I don't know. But, you know, that's a good shot of it. And I would suggest that you check out that video if you haven't already, you guys and the listeners as well. But you're right. He wasn't the same after that. He was still pretty good at times, but he was outstanding to start up to that point when he threw that touchdown pass to Marat.
Yeah, and thankfully the guy from WBZ isn't the idiot that fell on the field trying to run with his big-ass camera. Did you see that, Ridge?
Oh, yeah. I actually heard you guys, Zolak and Sosie, I heard you guys make the call. The guy got that didn't seem like a good situation that he would put himself
in. No, he ran on. He was the in-house camera guy, and he ran with his big-ass camera and just took and just fell. It was. He's lucky the game ended the way it was. It did, because he would have been the story. That is a humiliating, humiliating thing that happened to that man. All right. Well, Bob Sosi, thank you so much for the time, and enjoy your trip to Pittsburgh.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. Sports Hatcher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
Gordon split left. Edelman flanks right. Brady on the play fake. Drops and then steps up to throw to the right for Gronkowski. Brings it down in traffic. Touchdown, Patriots, to the near right pylon.
And I just say, give me the spike. Double coverage and Brady force feeds him. Woo! What a throw.
Gronkowski had a good game yesterday, but every time I watch him, you can just see that he's not nearly as powerful as he used to be.
Well, if what their plan was to hopefully underutilize him and keep him rested so he would be healthy for the playoffs and be able to perform like he did yesterday, then obviously I'm all cool with that. I don't know how many more times he's going to have a game as effective as he did yesterday, but if they can get close to that, that's fantastic, because that's the guy you need out there.
But he's not picking up extra yards after the catch. Like, he's going down. It used to be almost impossible for a guy to take him down.
Yeah.
And now that is not the case.
But he's still catching some passes that
I said he had a good
very
game.
Few. No, I'm not taking away from him not having a game, but I'm saying that there's certain catches that he makes. There's maybe five tight ends in the league that could do that.
Right. But just in terms of his power and his ability to power through defenders, that's not even close to what it used to be.
Well, Joe Giza from WBZ, he's
the Geese.
The Geese. He sent me a clip, and this is something that I guess came from CBS, and because obviously it's where he works, but this was not on the broadcast. A lot of people were left scratching their heads as to, you know, what happened with Tom Brady. Why is he down? On the broadcast, I know they were questioning as to whether or not he got hurt there, because as Bob Sosi said, you know, after that play happened where he was on the ground, many people were asking, well, you know, he's not playing as well as he was. I mean, the first half of the game until he got hurt, he was unbelievable. I mean, I think that I forget, like, it was something crazy, like 12 for 12, and then all of a sudden it kind of started to go downhill after that. Now, I don't know if you've seen this video. I just tweeted it out.
I have not.
It's kind of scary, because Tom Brady is walking off the field. He's jogging off after that play, and then just out of nowhere, he falls to the ground. Like, there's nothing. He doesn't hit anything or touch anyone to make him go down. It's almost as if he feels like a pain and then immediately gets down on the ground and sits with his legs straight out in front of him. And he bends over kind of as if he's like trying to touch his toes almost, but it looks like he adjusts something. I guess it's his brace. And then slowly gets back up and jogs a little slower off the field. And it looks like there's a little bit of a limp. But I mean, when you see it, look for it. I mean, you could see him running, and then all of a sudden, I know where it's like, whoa.
Yeah, he takes it, yeah.
And kind of grabs his knee as if something's hurting down there, which scares me more. All those non-contact ones always scare me more than
sure.
If someone hit him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he wasn't a disaster after that happened. Just he wasn't who he was before he got hurt, it does seem like. And by the way, there are some victory laps being taken this morning by some of the Patriots' old enemies. As a matter of fact, from what I've been hearing, Rex Ryan is now on ESPN, who has been bragging about, or not bragging, but having a great day, saying, oh, anytime Belichick screws up, he's talking about Gronk in there, it's a win for me. Here it is. He goes, I feel like I won. You mean the genius Bill Belichick? I finally get a chance to throw some shade at Bill Belichick? I'm going to.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Absolutely. If you're a coach, you had to, was it twice in the division going against Belichick? Absolutely.
Sure.
He screws up that badly? Oh, yeah, you got to take the shot.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Listen, dance around, have a good time, because you're not going to see that happen often. Especially from the Belichick thing, you know, was dumb with Gronk being in there at the end. But the Brady thing, I mean, when is the...
I don't recall Brady making mistakes like that, yeah.
I mean, I can't even think of a time where he's had a brain fart that bad.
Yeah, if that would have happened to Tannehill, I mean, people would be going nuts and laughing about how terrible he is. Yeah, I mean, and again, we were talking about this with Troy Brown. You know, they've discussed this before. They've, you know, during the game, they've discussed it. He's got it in his headset. They're telling him the exact scenario, how many timeouts he has. Don't take a sack. Throw it away. Like, this is all being discussed.
So how do you let that happen? Like, I mean,
I don't know. Guerrero wasn't around. he forgot to take his concussion sauce in the morning.
He was hypnotized by Wallach's gap tooth.
Yeah, he just saw
in the audience.
He saw. That's why he fell. Because he saw Wallach and couldn't take the image. Wallach in West Palm.
Do me a favor, everyone listening, when Wallach comes back tomorrow, I want you all to call and blame John Wallach for the loss. Like, every call, I want you to blame John Wallach for the loss.
Yeah, Wallach was just sitting there, and he's like, look at the gap in those teeth. Poor fella.
And that's I heard it was getting smaller.
Yeah.
Is that doing, fake news?
I had a guy who is advertising the station saying that... that Wallach is, that's a lifelong scenario where he's going to have a retainer. That gap was so huge. And this is all in seriousness. He's like, yeah, I mean, they can close the gap, but I mean, he's going to have something in there like steel prongs to keep those things together.
All right, we have to discuss something real quick that happened over the weekend.
All Celtics all night. Jaylen Brown jumps the passing lane, has the steal. Euro step around. Blakeney throws it down hard with the right hand. And bad news for the rest of the NBA, boy. The Celtics have figured it out. 103-65, largest lead of the year.
Okay, so the Celtics look amazing lately. Last five games, they've been on fire. I mean, everything's clicking. The offense is just moving up as far as like rankings, and the defenses look good. And then it all gets capped off on, I believe, Saturday night when they blow out the Bulls. I mean, it's the worst loss in Bulls history, and I think it's the biggest margin of win for the Celtics and whatever. But it was 56 points. They ended up beating them by. Hey, great win. There's a lot to feel good about with the Boston Celtics. However, after the game, Terry Rozier spoke to the media, and here's what he said.
It's been very good for us. You know, we won our last couple games, so we want to keep it going. And everybody can shut up. Everybody been very annoying. We've been losing. Very annoying.
Yeah, you can all shut up now. All right, Terry Rozier, you know those teams that you beat? Now, listen, I'm as big of a Celtics fan as it gets. I don't think any of those teams over the last five games are over 500. Like, you beat up on bad teams.
Well,
like,
shut up.
Beat up on
shut
bad,
up.
Bad teams.
I mean, shut up already.
Very annoying.
I mean,
it's annoying. You can't get away from it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's everywhere he turns. Celtics.
You guys sucked at the beginning of the season. And you were part of it, Terry Rozier. And for you, after five games, now listen, they've been amazing. And I honestly think that they've figured it out. But for you to come out there and be like, shit, all the haters out there, you know, you guys suck, take blah, 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 blah. No, you have a lot to prove. It's barely December, and you're going to sit there and tell people to suck it? I can't take it. That pissed me off. I wanted to trade him right then, and I like Terry Rozier. But that is like so anti what this team was last year. You know, like the whole like underdog, and
Rich, you don't understand the pressure of November basketball on a team. I mean, it's really a pressure cooker there to get through that grueling November.
They trounced a Bulls team whose interim coach benched the entire starting lineup to make a point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think these two teams were doing the same thing that night.
No.
One of them was playing a game, you know, to try to win, and the other was I don't know what, but not that. So.
Well, did you hear that apparently the Celtics ruined the Bulls? Because I guess the next day, all the members of the team were texting each other as to whether or not they were even going to show up at practice.
Well,
they're going to actually, you know, like have a boycott. Say, you know, listen, you know, this is a...
It's a good plan.
Yeah, it's a good...
There's a lot of...
But you got killed.
There's a lot of opportunities in the NBA.
All right.
That's a good plan. It's, you know, hey, I'm the 10th guy off the bench.
Of a bad, bad, bad team.
Yeah, right.
Exactly, so...
You know, who needs this money? I'm in a position of great. You know, it's LeBron James. You go, okay. Now, you know, what are they going to do to him? But if I'm Jabroni Jones on the Bulls, no, that's not something I'm considering.
But the great news is that the Celtics, as they continue to get better, and I do believe that they have figured a lot of things out. I mean, the minute they put Gordon Hayward coming off the bench, he's gotten better. Jaylen Brown's better off the bench. They've got a nice chemistry when you've got Marcus Smart starting. And they've got a bunch of bad teams that they're going to be playing coming up that will help them kind of get back to normal and kind of right the ship a little bit. But, I mean, I'm seeing, when's the next real challenge? You got the Pelicans tonight. The Wizards aren't doing so hot. Hawks suck. You'll be playing the Pistons, all right. The Suns suck. Okay, the Bucks. So you got to wait until the 21st until you have a real challenge and you really find out where you are. But in the meantime, over these five games, they're killing bad teams, and they look good doing it. And that's all you can really ask for. So, except for Terry Rozier, that just made, for some reason, that really pissed me off the other day, because that's so not what this team is about. It's not what Kyrie Irving is about. Kyrie Irving's a little bit more, you know, we got still got a ton to prove.
And shouldn't you wait until you beat an actual team before you do that?
You don't do that after you do it against one of the worst teams in the entire league.
Go beat the Bulls. Toronto. Go beat a good Western Conference team. Do that.
Yes.
And then talk like that. Don't beat whatever that Bulls team passes for at this point.
And especially during the Patriots season, again, the pressure on the Celtics is just, talking to town.
Right. You got all the time in the world to figure things out.
Yeah.
You know, just figure it out.
The teams make the playoffs. Yeah, you got to figure, as long as they make the playoffs, by the end of the season, they will have gelled and they'll be fine.
Well, Marshall, you don't understand the amount of pressure and the amount of conversation revolving around the Celtics.
I understand. It's
unavoidable.
Very very difficult.
This is the best place to play any sport besides football on the planet. Because you're a non-story.
That's true.
Until about February.
That is true. Right, the people lay off you until then.
Yeah, because especially the Celtics. I mean, people get concerned, but they don't start personally attacking you.
No, just continue to just do what you've been doing. Pummel these bad teams. Get a bit of a groove. Get comfortable and don't start talking trash until you beat a real team.
All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we discuss over there?
Okay, there's a pretty fantastic thing that someone found after all these years. There is a basketball card that features serial killers.
And it's something I might have had.
I mean, this
is
something
driving me crazy.
Like, how this was figured out, somebody with a lot of time on their hands found something amazing over the weekend.
All right, we will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
By the way, right now on our Twitch feed, once again, you can watch us on Twitch. Either go to twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub, or you can go to the Twitch app right now. Nick is writing down suggestions, because there's a little chat board there, too, so you can watch the show and also dialogue with a group of people. And he's taking suggestions for bits we're going to be doing for our upcoming Best of 2018, like we do every year.
Where we take the foot off the gas.
Uh-huh.
And let the last 350-some-odd days do the talking.
That's right. So if you have a suggestion of something that you would like in the best TNR's Best of 2018, you can go on our Twitch feed right now.
I think we had a nice conversation in July about the All-Star baseball All-Star game.
I think we should just do that.
Yep.
Just, you know, mid-season baseball talk.
That's what we're doing.
And speaking of baseball, it was just announced this morning that ESPN intends to make an announcement at the winter meetings that Sunday night baseball is going to be moved up an hour early to 7 p.m., which means that Red Sox-Yankees will now end at midnight instead of 1. So congratulations. Anytime you can move up baseball, I am A-okay with that. So that is actually
decent news. Ratings are going to go through the roof.
For the Sunday night baseball?
Yep. It's the whole Mr. and Mrs. America all gather around the tube.
First pitch for the playoffs still won't happen until like 9:15.
Well, of course not.
Yeah.
That seems to be the way it goes. Well, this is unbelievable. So there's a basketball card for Mark Jackson from 1990 when he played for the New York Knicks.
So here's what pisses me off about this, and I'll go as you go.
Okay.
You get this Mark Jackson card from this year,
and it's not. There's no way in the world you keep it.
No, you think it sucks. Like Mark Jackson,
it just sucks. You're sifting through cards, even like, and you just like, yeah, you get rid of it. It's a Mark Jackson crap card.
So the card has a picture of Mark Jackson making a bounce pass, and behind him, you can see the front row of seats, and somebody on Reddit found this past week what appears to be, and has now been confirmed, the Menendez brothers, Lyle and Eric Menendez, the two brothers who were convicted of murdering their parents in 1996 and were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, here's the kicker. The murders occurred in Beverly Hills in 1989, but it wasn't until 1990 that they were arrested. This is a 1990-1991 basketball card, which means, because they've done some digging, that when this picture was taken, the Menendez brothers had already killed their parents, yet it was before it was found out they had done so.
Will someone please make a docudrama about the Menendez brothers?
If only there was one I could find somewhere.
If only there was a thousandth one.
So what, of course, happens when somebody finds out that this card, has two serial killers on it? That would be the price goes through the roof. And apparently on eBay, it is more than quadrupled in price. But then again, it couldn't have been.
It's worth 14 cents.
Yeah, 14 cents. Exactly. Of like the 3 cents before.
Nothing is as expensive as you think it is. Sal, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess you can file this one under Gapgate, but I know a bookie from Southie who spoke of one of his regulars, Gap-Tooth Four-Eyed Radio Personality from Boston, and this fella placed a five lodge on Miami to win this weekend.
Really?
He knew the Gap man was there.
Yes, indeed. There's some inside talk about how distracting Wallach would be in the stands.
By the way, the Bankroll Boys, they're just unbelievable. So it's like, do you remember last week when Lifshatz came in here? He said, all right, what's the lock of the week? And he gave me the most degenerate sounding bet ever. He said, you got to go the under on the Army-Navy first half.
Yeah. That is, like, that's, I almost wouldn't want to be right.
Like, it's like the saddest thing ever. And I was like, that is such a ridiculous bet that I've got to take it. So this weekend I put $300 on the under, which was 20 and a half on the Army-Navy game first half. Now, apparently right off the bat, I did not watch it. I followed a little bit on Twitter. Right off the bat, either Army or Navy scored. So we were like, not looking so good, huh? Oh, yeah. I think the score was 7-0 at the half. That was it. This dude, I don't know. Lifshatz has got something weird going on because he's the one who also picked Dallas to beat the Saints outright.
Fine.
And that was right after the Saints had gotten on that tear.
At least that is professional football.
Right?
That people, the two decent teams.
Right.
This is the Army Navy game.
First half, under.
That they like put on TV as like a public service.
All right, but here's my question.
Who sits down, and now someone's going to get mad at me, but who cracks their fingers and goes, all right, Saturday afternoon, here's a little Army-Navy.
So Donald Trump was there. Did you see him toss the first coin?
Oh no.
Oh, it's the greatest. This man has never done, he's never done anything like this before in his life. It was like he was releasing a bird into the sky.
Oh, he didn't flip it?
No, he had it in the palm of his hand, and he just tossed it up.
Did it even turn?
I can't tell. I couldn't tell because you can't see it.
Right.
But you just see his hand go, as it was like, fly away, coin, fly.
Well, he's got a lot in his mind.
Yeah, apparently he does.
So when I spoke for you and I said to put the whole bankroll on that thing that hit.
They did it.
Oh, they did it.
And it hit.
So what's your bankroll now?
$2,300. Dude, they've been killing it.
I can irresponsibly get your bankroll.
I would have been so pissed if I would have lost all that because it was like, what? At the time, it was like $800, $850 or something like that?
Yep.
Because when you told me about that, I was like, hey, I was joking. And then they came in and goes, by the way, you doubled your bankroll. I'm like, what? All right.
You got to do it. That's the thing is you got to be real dumb when you gamble.
Just, I'm telling you, listen to Lifshatz. Joe Murray kind of knows what he's doing, but Lifshatz is weird good at this. Like, really
See,
weird.
See, but is anyone keeping track of the ones that they don't get right?
Yeah, every week, ones that they tell on our show, we keep track of it. And now, like 2 weeks ago, they didn't have a great week, but their locks are almost always
because it's good. Easy to remember when they say something and it hits.
Oh,
and if it doesn't, you're like, yeah, all right.
Tweet them that because they love nothing more than going, oh yeah, jackass. I just went out here.
We'll get guys called like, who are you anyway? Like, who do you know? Where do you post your picks? You ain't nobody.
Dan Lifshatz.
But yeah, so God bless the Bankroll Boys.
How the hell did he call that Army Navy?
Dude, I don't know. I have no idea. The Army-Navy under.
In the first half.
In the first half. At 20, it was 20 and a half. And I think it was ended up being 7. I think it was just like right at the very beginning, first drive, they scored a touchdown. I'm like, all right, Lischess doesn't know what he's talking about. And then I never doubt the bankroll.
The Army-Navy game, it's just...
Listen, the people on Twitch are already angry at you, so...
What are they angry at Fred about?
Because he said nobody watches the Army-Navy game. And they're saying, you don't know anything about sports. They watch the Army-Navy game.
Okay.
I'm merely the messenger. I'm letting you know.
So you take
you,
your...
You said people are going to be angry at you, and I'm telling you they already are.
Wait, so you... I was joking about being angry. So wait, you're telling me that your Saturday afternoon, you work all week, your Saturday afternoon at noon, you plant
three.
Yourself...
At three.
Oh, okay, yeah. Three. I apologize. Even worse. At 3 o'clock, you sit down and consume 3 hours of Army-Navy football?
TMMB22. This is why Fred sucks and doesn't understand sports at all. I know a ton of people who love Army-Navy. He of course, doesn't say he watches himself. Fred calls that game irrelevant, but he talks for 4 hours about Ace Frehley's skin condition.
I've never done 4 hours. I've done 3 hours.
Are you ready to see Release the Birds, Fred? Yeah. Release the birds! Whee!
Someone get me the ratings on the Army-Navy game.
I can tell you my father-in-law watches.
I think it does
okay. That's the one guy I know. And he tells us, he sends an email to the entire family reminding us that Army-Navy's today. And we all go, okay.
I'm the same way. I have a military family, so everyone's all in on this.
Do they really watch it, though?
Yep. Oh my gosh. They watch it. I have family that went, too. Yeah.
Okay,
but they're military.
But did they go to, like, West Point or the Naval Academy?
West Point, yes.
That's obvious if you go to West Point that you're going to care about the game.
Sure. As I said, that's why it was
if you're an alma mater of it, but I mean, it's not a good football game. do we have to pretend that Army Navy is a good football game?
Don't look
now?
At me. I'm just the messenger here. All right, pal.
Is it unpatriotic in my?
Yes,
yes, it is.
Yes,
hey,
it
don't
is.
Sit down and watch a football game,
Nick. What's a 5.7 rating? Like what? Down 3% from last year, 5.7. I think that's probably surprisingly good.
I think it's probably is surprisingly good. Yeah. And again, I marvel that people will sit down and watch anything on television.
Is line two someone who's going to crap with the Bankroll Boys? Because I think those calls are funny.
Okay.
Because it truly fires them up.
Pat, go ahead.
Hey, I got to say, guys, the one thing about the Bankroll Boys is their number one, the first time they came on the air with you guys, they said Patrick Mahomes was going to suck this year. Do you remember that?
I do not.
I actually don't remember that.
It was their hot take of the year. They thought Kansas City was going to be soft, and Patrick Mahomes comes out week one and throws 5 touchdowns. Never brought up again.
The good thing is that when they have a pick that they blow it, they'll say it on the air. We'll hold them to it. Like, we have Nick write down the picks every week, and they had a bad week about 3 weeks ago. But then before that, I'm telling you, I'm living proof. I turned $60 into about like $2,300 or something. So they've been okay.
That's most of that is because of my responsibility of betting your money.
But I've only lost once with them, and we've been doing this for 10 weeks.
Well, so the next time you got to bet your whole bankroll.
It has to be something. I would have never put money on a Northern Illinois game, and I just thought that one with the under and
so
a half.
You're not fully invested. You should start the season with $100 and with the Bankroll Boys every week. Yep. Bet it all on their lock of the
week.
That
was my intention.
We'll see how many, it's like an elimination pool.
But Marshall, point it becomes real money.
Yeah, but it's not. you're never going to cash out with them.
No.
No, you're not.
You'll eventually lose it all, and then you'll play that game where you're trying to I got to get back. Got to get back to 2300.
I mean, are we going to have the Bankroll Boys on a non-football season?
No.
All right. Well, then you got to start making outrageous bets.
I think outrageous bet on the under of the first half of an Army Navy.
I have like $20 left in DraftKings that I haven't frittered away yet, but I'm going to get to that.
I mean, if you have over $2,000, $300 isn't even a conversation. You got to start making. You got to start at least $1,500 on a game.
By the way, Army Navy apparently is the sixth most watched college game this year. I don't believe that.
No way.
Somebody just tweeted that to me.
No way.
I don't believe that for a second.
Oh,
because
give me
I would
a break.
Take every Alabama game before that.
Oh, how about what are you telling me? Michigan, Ohio State didn't have a higher rating than that. Are you going to tell me Notre Dame, Michigan didn't have a higher rating than that? Oh, that is absolutely ludicrous. I can't believe we're having an argument about the quality of the Army-Navy game.
You insulted a lot of people, Fred.
Insulted who? They're not good teams. How is this insulting to anyone?
You just don't like America.
Of course. Of course. Everyone that didn't watch the Army-Navy game.
Yeah, you're communist.
Is just anti-military as long as the day is... All right, you all watch the Army-Navy game. Congratulations. Quite a life you've carved out for yourself. Boy, oh boy. 3 o'clock on a Saturday, going to spend 3 hours watching the Army-Navy game. Was the WNBA game not on? All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Oh,
are they at the 10?
Holy
Oh, my God.
Did he just score?
Gronk better run.
He's about
out.
To score.
Oh!
No way.
Oh, no!
Holy
You gotta be kidding me!
What?
Wow!
98.5, the sports hub. Someone called in, but they hung up to talk about the virtues of Army football.
Oh.
They lost to Duke. They beat a team LIB.
Long Island Bureau of...
They beat Liberty, maybe. They played... They beat Hawaii. They played Oklahoma tough. They beat Buffalo, something SJSU. Miami of
San
Ohio.
San Jose State University?
Yep. Okay. Miami of Ohio. Eastern Michigan University. Air Force Lafayette and Colgate.
Ryan Johnson tweeted and said, "Hey, Rich, tell Fred the reason Army Navy gets great ratings is they play it after everyone else's season ends. It was the only game on Saturday, and because everyone bet their whole bankroll on the first half over-under."
Yes, that makes sense. If everyone took the first half over-under, they bankrupt Vegas.
Yeah, it's like the Pro Bowl. It's like, you know, that's the only thing going.
Yeah, so you're forced to sit and watch something that you have absolutely no interest in. Okay. Well, it's on.
How you doing there, Scott Zola?
Hi, good morning.
By the way,
how you guys doing?
Great job with the call yesterday.
Thank you.
We played the, like, 3.5-4 minutes from the field goal that Gostkowski made at the end all the way to the end, and that 35 seconds of silence just says it all.
Yeah, I almost threw about 5 F-bombs out, and you heard me say the oh Jesus heads attack, because I saw it happening. As soon as he broke the... broke the 30. I think it was about the 30 to 28. I go, oh, Jesus.
It's when he broke left, right?
Because I knew that's where he had Gronkowski deep, and Rob, he could either go across the field, which he had outran Rob to that pylon, but he elected to tuck the corner, take the short route to the right. And you never forget moments like that, you know? And then Capella grabs him, and he goes, let it breathe. Lay out. Just lay out. And Capella did a fantastic job, because I was ready to go ape doo-doo.
Sure.
And say a lot of bad things. You know, I'm thinking like, man, you're the poor kid on the Polar Express, and that's how you feel when you get on that train, and yeah, you know, maybe it really isn't Christmas or something. Yeah, a lot of weird.
I don't know what just happened there.
Weird stuff starts going through your head, man.
That's my favorite.
Because I was like, it's there, and like Rob's like, yeah, like it's party on. I'm like, maybe, well, I get a T-shirt, well, I get a hat.
Right.
Well, instead, give me one.
Instead of going to the North Pole, it goes off a cliff.
Yeah, and then you come over that edge, and then next thing you know, you hit that ice at the bottom, and that whole freaking train sliding left and right.
And then Tom Hanks' brains are everywhere.
And then you got the weird hobo up top.
Hobo, like, why is the kid up there with shoes?
Why is there a hobo interjected in the movie? Who knows?
Right.
So it ain't so hot.
It got dark.
I wandered onto the set.
About a minute. It got really, really dark for me. And then I always take the back way. I find the shortest way to the locker room.
Yeah, right.
For fifth quarter, because I got to get down there, hurry up real quick. We sign off, and I got to get on TV. So I find a way in the stadium where I snake down. And then all you see is the cheesy Miami fans in the club, and they're screaming. And they all have the jorts on with socks and wristbands. Like, why do you have wristbands? You're a fan. Why do you have a wristband on? And then they start going back to Foxborough, you know, and yelling. And I almost said something. And I'm just bite your tongue. By your tongue.
Oh, it would have been so great if you would have gotten in a fight.
Nope, you don't play. You're part of the organization.
I'm a last man.
You do stuff for the organization. Don't be a jackwagon.
And you said the flight back was not as bad as it could have been because of the way that
the games came out. You start seeing the other games starting to come to end, and you find out that Houston effed up. I didn't trust Houston. We'll get into all this during our show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.